Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is thy good pleasure to see thy children come before thee. And we thank thee for the day set aside for us to come before thee, to worship thee, to meditate upon your word, and then apply it to our lives. Father, we have anticipation of the leading of the Holy Spirit that would direct the words and the truth of thy word, and that it might go forth this morning hour here in our midst. We pray that you'll use the lips of clay to bring your message, and we promise, Father, to give all praise and honor and glory to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. With God's help this morning, I'd like to read out of the first book of Peter, chapter 4. 1 Peter, chapter 4.
Bratija naša, da se čita iz prve poslanice Petrove, 4. glava. 1. Petrova, 4. glava.
For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness and lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of the God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be to them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. May God.
Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, this morning hour we turn to thee upon bended knee as a congregation, as a body of believers who have gathered themselves together, Lord, before thee in this day. Father, help us, Lord, in this day that we might glorify and magnify thy name. That we, Lord, in this day would worship thee in spirit and in truth. That we would bring before thee our whole being, Lord, that we would walk in the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. That love, joy, peace, and long-suffering and gentleness might be reigning within our hearts and in our minds. That we would come before thee to serve thee, Father. And Lord, we just pray thee that we would worship thee in sincerity and that we would not do it, Lord, as a show or for to be seen of men. Father, but may we worship thee in this day in spirit and in truth, that our minds and our hearts would give unto thee the glory that is due unto thee. So, Father, we are thankful now for this opportunity, and we pray blessing upon the meditation of this thy word as we have read it, Father, and we have seen, Lord, the Spirit working through the Apostle Peter and speaking of these many things, Father, even suffering and being a witness, Father. We just pray, O God, that a message, Lord, would be spoken to us that would be meaningful and that would be relevant, Lord, in our lives in this day. Father, thou knowest the hearts of each and every one that are gathered here. Thou knowest our concerns. Thou knowest the things that trouble us. Father, we know, Lord, that thou dost know all these things. Help us, Father, in faith to look up to thee, to trust in thee, and know that with thee all things are possible, and there is nothing too difficult for thee. Father, help us, Lord, to bring our petitions and our supplications, our prayers before thee continually, Lord, that thou wouldst fill us with thy goodness and with thy spirit and with thy power to overcome the enemy of our soul and to live faithfully for thee. Lord, this we do pray and continually ask this in prayer, Father, for we need thy help. We can do nothing on our own, Father, but we know, Lord, that greater is he that is within us than he that is in this world, the enemy of our soul. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, that thou wouldst touch each and every heart that is gathered here, bless each and every one with a measure of thy spirit and measure of thy fullness in this morning hour and throughout this day. Father, for those who are not able to be here, Father, we would lift them up in prayer likewise. Lord, we know that there are various circumstances of the body of Christ. Father, we just pray, Lord, that thou wouldst provide for the needs of each and every one. Father, and help us to do our part, Father, in supplying the needs of those who have needs, Father. We just pray thee that we would be used by thee. Lord, in all things, Father, give us a spirit of a servant attitude, Lord, that we would labor for thee, Father, in serving others and doing the things that thou wouldst have us to do. Help us to be an encouragement and to do, Lord, to build each other up, Father, and to lift up thy name in doing so. And so, Father, we know that there are many troubles in this world. Father, we just pray, Lord, that amidst that which goes on in this world, Father, that we would have peace in our hearts. Father, that nothing would disturb us, Father, but that we would know that thou art he who is in control of all things. Thou dost know the future. We commit all things to thee, and then help us then to have peace about all things. And so, Father, we would just pray, Lord, that we would also, in having this peace, Father, be a light to those who we would interact with, Father, that we would point to Jesus Christ in all things. And so that is our prayer, Father, that we, Lord, would have our identity crucified, Father, and that the identity of Christ would be alive within us and that we would always be pointing to thee, our Lord and our Savior, for we ask these things in his name. Amen.
The verse that stood out to me as I read this chapter, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. What the Apostle Peter is telling us, I believe here, As he writes to these many churches, as we can read in chapter 1, Peter, an apostle of Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And so he writes to the many believers, which include then, of course, us today. Thanks be to God that these words have been preserved down through the ages for us as well, that we might know as we live our Christian lives that the trials that we go through, we need to arm ourselves with what Christ himself went through. And so this is what he's saying to us here, that we no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to lust of men, but to the will of God. And then he talks about the things that we once did. The time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess, wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. These are things that he's reminds us that maybe at one time there was a time when we did partake in these things in our walk of life before we ever became a child of God. And so we realize that there are those that think that we're strange because we don't do this any longer. And because the Spirit of God has spoken to us, we have come to the knowledge of the truth, and we have believed in Jesus Christ, and he's become our personal Savior. We have learned to mortify those deeds of the flesh, as the Bible teaches us. And so we've learned to, after being baptized and being baptized with the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit and to be obedient to the leading and the direction of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we think of the Spirit leading our thoughts and our intents, we realize that the Spirit speaks in a small, still voice. I've been in the faith many years now, and I have never, never heard him speak as loud as you hear in me, or as loud as you may have heard some of the God's word come from this pulpit. It's always in that small, still voice that's deep within our hearts and minds, that guides us and directs us, warns us of the things that we get into, the temptations that we face. This is arming ourselves with Jesus Christ. And so as he goes on to tell us that the end of all things are at hand, and be ye therefore sober and watch and pray. You see, he realized that it's going to come to an end. Now, when he wrote this is many years ago, and he believed that the end could happen any given time. I know when my dad and mom were on this earth, they believed the very same thing. It could happen any time. As I get older, I realize and believe, yes, that time is running out, that it could happen any given time. We don't know how long it's going to happen, but what we do know is that we go through trials and go through tribulations, and we suffer some things that we don't know what to do sometimes. And that's why he says here, think it not strange concerning the fire trials that come upon us. You know, Christ told us that when you follow him, it's not going to be easy road for us. There's going to be trials, and there's going to be tribulations. It's a matter of how are we going to handle this? How do we deal with this kind of thing? You know, we hear things that come upon us. For an example, one of the trials that we just recently heard, our sister Painovic going through the troubles that she had, not knowing the future, not knowing what's going to happen, but believing that God knows and God will see her through it. as we experience this and we see this happen, we find that it's a clear different story now. She was even able to come and gather with us. So you see, these trials and these tribulations, they happen to us, but they don't last forever. We need to realize that. Sometimes we just have a problem seeing when that end might come. And as a result, we get anxious and we get worried and we become wondering and what's going to happen? What's going to happen to the future? Even like we're going through today, the trials of this coronavirus. Sometimes that can be frightening. It should not be frightening to any of us. We've learned, heard this over and over again. We are not to fear of that. That can be one of the trials that he's referring to here. Don't think some strange thing is going to happen to you. No, you can expect this, and it's going to happen. And so what do? As he says here, be sober, watch unto prayer. Be sober and watch. You know, when Christ was here, he talked about the end times, and he talked about what's going to happen. We read in Matthew 24, here's what he says. Ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. Ye shall not be troubled. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and many shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endureth until the end, the same shall be saved. These are Christ's words. In other words, you can expect things to happen. How often we hear wars and rumors of wars. We hear of earthquakes. Recently, there was a terrible one there in India. Many died because of it. They're still looking for the bodies. These things are happening. You read about this in the news. Even in the state of California, Nevada, many earthquakes and disturbances have taken place. Some of them we don't even read about, but they're happening. Don't be alarmed when this stuff happens, he's saying. Don't think some trial coming upon you is a strange thing. No. We're going to see this. We're going to have to live through this. Even like with the uncertainty of what we have in the future. Coming up to the presidential vote. What's going to happen to our country? You hear all kinds of things. What might happen? What's going to take place? And you can be overwhelmed with some of this. You can be worried and concerned. What's going to happen to my children? What's going to happen to my grandchildren? No, don't let that bother you. Don't let that upset you. Don't think some fiery trial is not going to happen. It's going to happen. And we need to be prepared. And how do we be prepared? We listen to that small, still voice that's within us that gives us that peace, that satisfaction, that calmness that we need. You see, they think it's strange for you that if you don't speak of these things, if you don't see these things happen, they think there's something wrong with you. No. Let them think what they want. You and I have the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we have the opportunity, we have the privilege, if you will, to put our trust in God. And I believe this is the problem with our nation today. There's not enough people that put their trust in the living God. Is it any wonder we got troubles and trials? No. Because we have many times in places have put God out of the story, out of the picture. We don't need God. We can handle things ourselves. Can we? No, we can't. Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. Abide in him, and he'll abide in you. And this is the message that we find and read here in Peter's epistle. That we put our trust and our belief in the living God. You see, there are people that don't just look at it as God's in control. No. They think there's everybody else is in control. Who's in control? When you think about it, we are in control of our own lives. That's how much control we have. The only control we have is in our own lives, and that control is placed in the hands of the living God. We have learned to trust him. We have learned to believe in him. And we've seen in many places, many incidents, where he has seen it come through. He promised us he will never leave us nor forsake us. We need to constantly be reminded of that promise. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. Unless we fail to trust him and commit everything into his care and keeping. And so as he goes on to think and say here, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now sometimes we go through these things, we don't find a whole lot of exceeding joy in it. Why is that? Because we have not completely submitted to him and put it into his care and his keeping. We have not thoroughly believed that he is in control. Because we try to work things out ourselves. That's a natural thing. That's the way it goes sometimes. We run into these problems and these trials. But I always remember the one thing that one brother told me one time. We don't have no troubles. We just have some unresolved challenges. And if you look at the trials and the tribulations that we go through, not as troubles, but unsolved challenges. And we look to God and we look and trust in him that he'll solve these unsolved challenges that we face. But you have to trust him. Many times we have to wait on him. He doesn't answer us instantly when we bring things to him. Sometimes he does. But sometimes he doesn't. And so this is the thing that we learn as we live our godly life, as we live our Christian life, walking in his ways, trusting in him, believing that he has all things under control. And so this is what I believe the apostle is encouraging us here. But he says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. So you see, he identifies the difference between those that don't trust and those that do. Those that do, God is glorified. You don't, you simply don't glorify God. You think you can handle it and do it yourself. You got to dismiss that thought in your life. You got to dismiss that exercise, if you will. That you can work out things yourself. Don't do it. You can't. Or you might try, and you're going to fail. But you put your trust and pray to God that he will solve the unsolved challenges. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So you see, he's encouraging us here. Some of these things, don't be caught as a murderer. Of course, what chances are they? We think ourselves, what chances am I going to be of a murderer or a thief? But we can be evildoers, and we can be busybodies in other man's matters. Those things can happen to us. Very subtle. Unnoticed sometimes. Because we have tried to take things on of our own. We've tried to work stuff out ourselves. And as a result, we can easily become an evildoer or a busybody. These things, he says here, don't let that happen in your life. And you and I do have that control if, in fact, we are obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So he goes on to say, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? So you see, the Apostle Peter writing this here is writing to the believers. That's you and I that have accepted him as our personal Savior and have become converted. That's us. And he's referring to them as this here refers to us, the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what shall the end of them that obey not God? So you see, God will correct his children. We read that. We talk about and read about chastening. God loves us because he chastens us because he loves us. If you don't feel any chastening and you don't feel any God's correction, then you're not even, perhaps, maybe, not even his child. You're fatherless, and you're considered, as what the scripture says, a bastard. That's someone that is without father. But that's not you and I. You and I have a heavenly Father, and we trust him, and we believe in him, and we believe that he'll see us through this. So this judgment is going to be upon us as his children, as his believers. And if it comes upon us, what's going to happen to those that don't even, it says, don't obey the gospel? You don't have a chance. You don't have a chance. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You see, he makes this very plain and clear, dearly beloved. He makes it very plain and clear to those of us that love him and serve him and are giving him credit, are obeying the leading of the Spirit in our lives. We are held in judgment for this if we don't. And if we don't do that, what do we expect out of the ungodly, those that don't know their Lord and Savior as a personal Savior? You don't stand a chance. You need to realize that your soul is lost. You need to realize that you need to repent and become a child of his. Put your trust in him. Maybe this is why you can't come to the Lord, because you have not learned how to trust God. Maybe you have not learned to put the trials and tribulations on him. You try to handle them yourself. We all have done that. That's why he talks about this here. It sufficeth us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess and wine, revelings and banqueting and abominable idolatries. We did that. We learned. It don't get us nowhere. It's sin. We need to forsake sin. We need to die to sin and become his child, to believe and trust and to ask. And when he talks about us here, talks to us, that he says, but the end of these all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. This is our God-given privilege, if you will. This is our desire to do. It should be in our hearts and our minds. We want to be sober-minded, putting our trust and our cares upon the living God. And he's the one that will care for all of these things for us. But it takes a sincere and upright heart. You see, the scriptures in the Old Testament tell us that God will care for those that have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You know what that means? That means that you have surrendered your will to God's will. And when we do that, we learn to trust him. We learn to believe in him. We learn to believe that all things will work for good to those that love him and are called to his purpose. We read in the scriptures. So dearly beloved, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing as unto a faithful creator. The end of the chapter. This is what he encourages us to. Commit the keeping of your souls to him in well-doing and as unto a faithful creator. You see, we have come to learn and know and believe that he is a faithful God. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to his word. And we've experienced that. We know what that means. Let us continue in these trying days in which we live, because the end is coming. The end is not that far away. We don't know how far it is. It doesn't matter. The point being that we need to watch and pray. Even as he said in Matthew, these things are going to come. These things are going to happen. But dearly beloved, it is our responsibility as the house of God to put our trust and our cares upon him in these trying and tribulations that we go through. You know, the scripture talks about, and he mentions that this is the beginning of the tribulation. There are some people that believe that the Christians will never see the great tribulation. Take it for what it's worth. Believe what you want to believe. But there are, we don't know that that's ever not going to happen. But what we do know and believe, that he will see us if we remain faithful until the end. And whether we have to face a tribulation, great tribulation, and what exactly that tribulation is, it's probably not really clear to us. You read in the book of Revelations where it talks about when the Antichrist comes, which he's already here, and things are going to happen, and there's going to be this world leader, this beast is going to come about, and you're going to have to side in with him in order to buy and to sell, maybe to feed your family. You have to take the mark of this beast upon you, whether it's in your hand or your forehead. Is this the great tribulation? Is this the beginning of these sorrows? We don't know that for sure. Some people think that we're never going to see that. God's going to come and Christ is going to come and take the Christians all away, and they'll never have to put up with that. Dearly beloved, that can be a false religion. That can be a false promise. We don't know that. In the scriptures, we got to believe. We don't know when that might come, but all we can do is trust and believe that it's not going to happen to us. And if it does, we're going to trust God all through it. This is why we need to practice this now. When the great tribulation, if you will, is not really upon us. Oh yeah, we go through our trials and our tribulations, but it's not really upon us. I don't believe that there's such great tribulation, that the beginning of such sorrows. No, maybe some of these places, I don't doubt for a minute. California's gone through a lot of sorrows. All them fires, those down in the south where our brother Andrew's at, all them storms and stuff that hit, going on three now in a row, destroying property, destroying, flooding things. Those are probably real trials to them people, no doubt. And you wonder, we need to pray for them, that their faith would continue, that they would be strong in trusting God, and that don't always last forever. The good weather does come. The clouds blow away and the sun does come. And we need to trust and believe that that can happen in our lives. That these trials and tribulations, they don't last forever. So let us be mindful of what's happening in our lives, what we can pray for, who and how we should stand strong in the faith. And if we don't start standing strong now, what makes you think you're going to be able to, should we be in this beginning of sorrows, in this great tribulation, as the scripture talks about? You see, if you don't practice it now, you're not going to practice it then either. But it's a serious thing. It's a serious thing for us to keep ourselves from the unspotted from the world, and that we might do God's will in our lives by obeying the leading of His Holy Spirit. These are the promises that He will never leave us nor forsake us that we have in His Word. And dearly beloved, let us cling to the promises that God has given us this day and age. We have no other recourse. We have no other source. We can't depend on our government. We can't depend on our nation. We can't depend on anything, if you will, but Almighty God. And let us cling to Him. Let us trust. Let us pray. And let us be sober and watch. Amen.
Koliko želim sebi ljubazni da mi Gospod pomogne da kada dođe neka teškoća ili neko iskušenje, da mogu da se setim šta je učinjeno za mene, da mogu da se naoružam tom misli šta je Isus Hristos učinio za mene, koji sam bio grešan, koji sam bio nevredan. Toliko želim svakome jednome od nas da se opremimo to misli, da možemo kroz šta god prolazili ljubazni, da možemo da vidimo da je Isus naš spasitelj prolazio kroz mnogo teže stvari, mnogo sramnije stvari, mnogo veće muke nego što ja prolazim. Koliko želim sebi da mi Bog pomogne u tome, a koliko želim da Gospod Bog, tako želim Gospod Bog da blagoslovi ovo malo reči na našim srcima, a njemu neka je večna hvala i slava od svih nas sad i veka. Amen.
Verse number 12 was the 12 that was the verse that spoke to Brother Bob this week, as it reads, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." There will be difficulty. Christ said so. There will be difficulties and trials and sufferings in our lives. The Bible says that all that live godly shall suffer persecution. There may be a time in our life where we will experience that. So the Bible says here, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." These things will be a part of our lives. But the verse here says that, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." So in our sufferings, as the difficult days of our lives come, let's glorify the Lord. Let's lift up His name. How do we do that? By what Brother Bob was preaching, and that is trusting in the Lord. We're all familiar with that beautiful verse in Proverbs that says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." Trust in Him. Trust in Him. Why do we trust in Him? The Bible says that Jesus will be with us even until the end of the world. The Bible says that with God all things are possible. And so we trust in Him. Whatever happens in our lives, whether they're some difficult times or extremely difficult times, we trust in the Lord, because with Him all things are possible. Another verse in this beautiful chapter says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves." This is what the Lord is calling us to. Trust in Him. Through those difficult, dark trials, trust in Him and have fervent charity among yourselves. A charity that strives to serve the needs of others and looks out for the well-being of each other. That's what the Bible here is calling us to. So may the Spirit of God speak to our hearts as we trust in Him and have fervent charity among ourselves. Amen.